Blog Talk Radio.
Ooh. Yeah, yeah. You already know what time it is. It's that official time. Where we take this worldwide. Let's go. Listen. So now it's time to turn it up. Surf the radio waves as we begin to burn it up. We all up in your area like landscape, definitely bringing you the power slamming pancake. It's the mandate that you tune in. It's time to move out so we can move in and recognize that this is no illusion. I'm here to clear the air so that there is no confusion. It all started off in the book of Genesis when Jacob was wrestling with who he thought was his nemesis. And when the man saw he couldn't overpower him, he touched his hip but he really could have devoured him. And from that point then we hear a name change, rearrange the game, so now we gotta change. So I'm here to let you know it's time to listen to the Pancake and Power Slam show. Let's go!
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam show.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam show.
Turn it up.
Indeed, indeed, indeed. It is the Pancakes and Power Slam show. We are so honored to celebrate the one-year anniversary. We have a very, very special guest on the show today. We're going to do a bit of an interview, go through a series of questions. Feel free to call in 347-884-8452. Of course, I am Chris Featherstone, your host on the Pancakes and Power Slam show, celebrating, once again, the one-year anniversary. Also, chat room open if you have any questions there. Tweet at Crave Wrestling, hashtag PanSlams. With that being said, I am honored and privileged to have the man, the Pope, Elijah Burke, is on the line. How are you, sir?
All's well, man. All is well, all is good. Pope is pimping in the hood. I think we all know that. But I'm blessed, man. I'm blessed, and I'm happy to be a part of your one-year anniversary. Congratulations to you guys.
Awesome. Thank you so much, sir. All right, let's go into the questions here. The first thing I have to ask you is, Elijah, what inspired you to pursue pro wrestling, and tell us about your early days of wrestling?
Early days of wrestling. Well, there was one inspiration amongst many, that is, but the main being, you know, watching NWA growing up down in Florida, Jacksonville, Florida, that is, and gosh, watching NWA and World Class Championship Wrestling, and seeing the likes of the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes, Ric Flair, the Horsemen, Rock and Roll, and all those guys. It was just something that my dad, all credit to him, and as far as having me on his, you know, at his foot, on his knee, and whatever the case may be, at his side, whenever he was watching his wrestling shows. And it was just something that my whole, you know, a lot of us in the family grew up watching. And after church services, we would go home and eat Sunday dinner and wait for, you know, 6 o'clock, 5 o'clock wrestling, whatever it may be. So that's really what inspired Pope. But again, none other than the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes. You know, he at the time was like the only black wrestler that we had to look up to. He was the closest thing to it, Daddy. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, Rocket King was trying, but he wasn't getting far. So,
wine and dine with pork and beans.
There you go. He was the only one. And, you know, that is a sad thing. It's not necessarily sad, but that's Pope Field. That's the situation. Whereas today we still can't translate or reach out to a certain demographic, a certain place, if you would, where a superstar can relate and relate on a positive level. Dusty was able to do that, and not to take away from Dusty's talent, but obviously the man was so talented, and now we know because of history, he was also the booker. So he can go out there and he can do that. And he can reach out your hand to my hand and be that Baptist preacher and be and be that black Southern type talker that can relate to me. But that's something that we oftentimes that's what Pope that's what Pope is about. You know, just keeping it real. And I think we just miss that. You know, it's always been a certain way, and I think we need more of that. We need to reach out. You know, we got our Rey Mysterio to reach out to the, you know, the Hispanic. We got our Del Rios, you know what I'm saying? But what do a person like Pope have right now to, you know, to influence my younger followers, my younger brother, my nephew? What do we have to inspire them from a wrestling standpoint?
Very great point there.
At least to relate to, mm-hmm. I want to see somebody. I want to see somebody doing something on a national level that can be from my hood, that can be from my neck of the woods, that can be from my town, that can be from my project. I mean, I don't know, but
mm-hmm.
Thank God for Dusty Rhodes.
Yeah, especially that Hard Times promo he did.
Did it.
yeah, that's what really did it right there. That's really set the standard for, just blue collar,
And it transcended.
It
transcended. It wasn't a race. It wasn't a certain people. That transcended to all people. And that's mm-hmm. and while we do have some individuals and characters that can do that, but like I said, it's very rare today.
Absolutely. Awesome. What wrestlers did you compete against early in your career that became stars in the WWE? So basically, you had some matches with some people back in the day, and that was just grooming them to be, the stars that they are now. Can you think of any?
Well, I don't think that I groomed any of them or whatnot. I do. I mean, we started, I was a part of their journey. I mean, the obvious. Choice and person that comes to mind is CM Punk. With our feud that we had, and the many matches that we wrestled each other, and I'm sure his name is going to come up again in this interview. But yes, CM Punk and everybody else that I pretty much wrestled or feuded with were already established individuals or legendary. I had to feud with the Tommy Dreamer and the Ballsy Mahoney, and God, where is he? Ballsy, give me a call. Gosh, Ballsy Mahoney, and again, when I got to TNA, the other guys were already established, the Samoa Joe and the AJ Styles, great guys that I really enjoy working with.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. All right, well, talk about your WWE debut when you was with Sylvester Turkai.
Sylvester Turkai, the man bear, if you will. Gosh, Pope was a little naive to terms, but I guess that was a rib. But, yeah, the man bear, Sylvester Turkai, he was the most gentle, misunderstood giant that there could possibly be. I mean, Sylvester is one of the coolest and gentle and kind-hearted guys I think I've ever been around in the business. But, man, did this guy ever snore. And when he snored, we share some hotel rooms together, and I miss, I don't know if he ever come across this stuff, but Sylvester, I miss you. But there's a story I'm going to tell really quick if I have the time.
Go for it.
Myself, great, thank you. Myself, Pope was going to do it anyways. But myself, Ariel, I ain't going into Pope mode yet, Daddy. Myself, Ariel, and Sylvester, we had a room, and Ariel, me and her, I call her my sissy. We had a pretty cool and still do have a cool relationship. And she, we stayed up and we were watching the Hall of Fame. I can't remember which one it was, but I know it was when Greg Gagne got inducted. And we were sitting on the bed, and Sylvester, the man bear, was over there hibernating. And we were watching it, and all of a sudden, in the midst of his loud snoring and calling hogs, this man let out a fart that made you think a volcano was about to erupt. And when he did it, and it just caught us off guard, Ariel, Shelly, Martinez, she jumped, and she grabbed me because she was so scared, and we didn't know what it was, and then all of a sudden we heard, ah, and I said, that's just the man there. So he had to get him some relief. So that was a funny story that I like to share about the man there, Sylvester Turcotte. Good guy, awesome. Great guy.
Awesome. How about your ECW run with the New Breed?
Oh, man. That was the obviously, you know, again, I think a lot of people are unaware that Polk was only two, you know, maybe I'm celebrating my 10-year anniversary as well as you guys celebrating your first, so that's pretty cool. This is my 10th year, so I've hit that decade mark, and thank you very much. And Polk was pretty much still I'll say a rookie, you know, just 2 years on the big screen, if you will, of the WWE, you know, straight out of the developmental territory. I've never wrestled in indie scenes or anything like that. So to be in that position and you know, to have Vince McMahon, you know, anoint me, ordain me, have confidence in me to be the quote-unquote leader of the group, the mouthpiece and whatnot, that was something that was a high point. At the time, definitely, of my career and his, and we were with a great group of other characters that all had their own, you know, internally had their own agendas, if it wasn't known. I mean, everybody wanted to make it. Everybody wanted to succeed and surpass the others. So, you know, I don't know if it was well-received that I, you know, this little black boy from Jacksonville, Florida had to be the mouthpiece, but at the same time, you know, I think we all did what we had to do to try to make it work, even if sometimes, you know, we other people thought otherwise, or, you know, we disagree, but what family don't?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, especially to have, you know, that soon into your career, you know, to have a marquee match at WrestleMania 23, that's a big deal. You know, there's not a lot of people that can say that.
I don't think, you know, some things I try to hold back in these interviews, but I'm gonna share something with you that I never share with anyone else because, you know, you got to try to keep stuff for your own personal archive, for your book and whatnot, if you decide to do that. So I try to hold on to some things, but I'll share this one with you to let you know how big of a moment that was for me, how much that moment meant to me. I went up to The Undertaker in Ford Field in Detroit. I'll never forget it. I went up to him in the locker room. And, you know, it was people, you know, some of the boys was coming in and out. But out of respect, I was so taken back and in such awe about what was about to go down. I just went up to Taker, and I just had to thank him. I thanked Taker for allowing me to be there. I thanked Taker for having the opportunity, you know, to share the dressing room with him. And also to be a part of, I think, in my estimation, as per the records, the second largest attended WrestleMania in history. And he grabbed, you know, and while I was talking to Taker, I couldn't do nothing but bust out in tears like a little 15-year-old girl meeting Justin Bieber or something. I don't know. But I broke down, and Taker, just like the father figure he is to a lot of us, he just reached out and he grabbed me and he pulled me in real close and real tight. You know, I don't know if it was to keep me from saving face or just to console me, but, you know, he just grabbed me. He said, this is what it's about. And he said, don't worry about it, man. He said, we love to see this. We love to see this. And he said, wow. You know, enjoy the moment. Yeah, man, I'll never forget that.
Wow.
I mean, how many grown men can say they was hugged and consoled by The Undertaker, you know?
Yeah.
But it was cool, man.
Yeah, the mentor that he is, you know, for him to, you know, to share that moment with you, that's phenomenal for sure.
And it's cherished. I'll never forget it. Tears rolling out my eyes. And he said, this lets me know that you want it. And he said, this is what we like to see. He said, enjoy this moment. You deserve it. And I appreciate that always.
Wow. That's awesome. Right. That's good. Well, I mean, unfortunately, you know, you had that moment, and then you know, you had a decent WWE run after the ECW left, but unfortunately you left at ECW. Do you have anything to share with you as far as your departure?
Well, you mean departure from ECW or WWE as a whole?
From WWE as a whole.
Well, fortunately enough, I've never had any injuries to sideline me like I've had recently, obviously. But during that time, you know, creative changes, and let me say that again, creative changes. I'll say it both ways because that's exactly what it was, you know. And you can be the most talented guy in the world, and you can be the greatest self-promoter. Look at Zack Ryder. But if there is someone who has a pen or pencil, if there's someone in higher places that does not recommend you or is not pulling for you or maybe against you or don't see what you are about, then they, you know, have the power of persuasion that can work against you. And I don't know why or what, but, you know, once the changes happen, you know, the thing happened with Michael Hayes and then the whole writers got shifted around from ECW and SmackDown, and then all of a sudden, you know, when Hayes came back, then, you know, the writers got shifted again. So everything that was about to go on with me was being placed on hold, or I was just being forgotten. So I took it upon myself to say, you know, to do as everybody say, get yourself over and whatnot. So Pope said, well, geez, you know, let me be Pope. Let me do this thing here. And Vince liked it. You know, Vince liked it, and, you know, they wanted to go the whole hat route, staff route, you know, the big white pontiff outfit and all that stuff. You know, and that's not what I was shooting for. But it was just a wait-and-see thing, and it kept being put off and put off, and I had a couple of dark matches with it, you know, trying out the character. Even though I wasn't forewarned, I showed up one day and they said, hey, you're going to be Pope today. So it's just one of them things that after a while, you know, I went out and had my last match with Matt Hardy on SmackDown while wrestling with the flu, and I tweaked my ankle at some point, and I was, you know, not hurt, but kind of off for a minute. And then creatively, it was, well, you know what? We're doing this. At the time, it was said the $20 million cut, you know, when that Black Friday came, and I got the, you know, miles on a Black Tuesday, I think. But, you know, I don't blame them. I can't say, you know, it was wrong because they weren't doing anything with Elijah Burke at the time, and Elijah Burke wasn't producing for him, so. So it wasn't bad, you know. It wasn't like I hate them, or, you know, they hate me. I don't think, but it was just one of those things where, you know, I knew the call was going to come when they started doing all the cutting, because, you know, apparently they had to you know, they wanted to get rid of $20 million. So.
Yeah. Well, you know, like you said, at least you know, had a moment, you know what I mean? There's not a lot of people who can say, I mean, there's not a lot of people who's been in the business for, you know, 10, 20 years that can share that same moment that you just explained. Yeah, so.
Yes, sir.
Absolutely.
Dusty Rhodes was my, when Dusty was writing for Pope, Elijah Burke, excuse me, not even writing, when Dusty was agenting for Elijah Burke, when he was in charge of my segments, and I'll always mention this, and much credit to Vince Russo when we get into the Pope character. That's going to shock a lot of people. But Dustin say, come on, Daddy, let's just do this thing. Let's roll with it, Daddy. Do your thing. I'll tell you if I like it. I'll tell you if I don't. Just take me here. And so Dusty still had that old school, and that's probably a horrible Dusty impersonation, but he still had that old school mentality. Even though they had stuff written or may try to say this is what they want, Dusty would say, come on, Dad, I know you good. You just go ahead and do what you're going to do, and I'll let you know if it's good or not. And that was it. So when I cut the promo on Batista, this is my yard. This, everything that I said during those times, fortunately enough, mostly throughout my career, I wasn't scripted. I was allowed to just say and interpret it the way I wanted to, whatever they needed me to get across.
Wow. Yeah, and a lot of your character emulates, you know, a Dusty Rhodes, so I can definitely see why he would co-sign, you know, Elijah Burke. So I definitely can see that. Well, let's get into your TNA run. You had some high points, you had some low points. You were incredibly over in TNA for a lot of your career there as Pope D'Angelo De Niro. And so let us know about your experience in TNA.
Ain't that something? It's like being in one of those Las Vegas relationships where you get taken to one of the big casinos, and as long as the money is good and the blackjack table is spinning, that woman or that man who's the lesser part of the relationship, they'll always be happy. But once it stops, man, oh boy, all hell breaks loose. Makes you feel worthless. You'll have to replay that if you want to catch it, folks. But with that being said, it's TNA, I cannot say that it was bad. I can't say that I had a lot of good times, but again, with the good comes the bad. And I probably had a lot more, as good as it was, which is funny, I probably had a couple more low points in TNA than the good time. And I think we all know when the good was. And unless you're going to Vince Russo, I'll go ahead and segue into him right now. Are you going to Vince Russo route? Question later.
Yeah, I mean, you go for it. You can go.
Okay,
right,
I just want your permission, sir. I don't want to get ahead of myself. Pope does that every now and then. I'll go into the woods every now and then, but I'll come back out. I'll find my way. Anyways, when I got there, I went to Vince Russo. First, I met up with Terry Taylor. We just had a chance meeting, and Terry was like, hey, you know Elijah, you know Kid, whatever. We sat, we talked, we exchanged words, we exchanged numbers. He's like, man, I want to, you know, get you down here. And I love Terry. God bless you, Terry. I love Terry Taylor. Great guy. I have nothing great but to say about Terry Taylor. And man, you know, he's just been, anyways, they've done, you know, anyways. He got me down there, and Vince Russo was like, hey, man, they're going to bring me in. Dirty Dutch was like, you're going to be a heel? You're going to be a baby face? What is it? I don't know what they want you to be, because they kept switching it up so many times as to who or what Elijah Burke was going to be. Originally, I'm talking, this is before I even made my own screen debut. They switched me so many times. You know, when I had the dark match against oh, gosh, I hope you don't hate me for this. I can't remember. I remember who it is. I just had a brain fart. But when I had my dark match, before I went out there, it changed four different times, maybe five. You know, Jim Cornette, well, what is it going to be? They can't make up their mind. I tell you what, you just go out there and be you. You choose. You know, love Jim Cornette. He birthed me into this business along with Danny Davis. Mm-hmm. But anyways, I showed a video to Vince Russo, which was a promo presentation, a little vignette of my vision of Pope. And when I showed Vince Russo this DVD, he came running out the room, you know, not literally halfway walking, halfway running, you know, with a power walk. He said, bro, this is going to suck. Bro, I'm telling you, bro, that's money, man. That's money, bro. You have to do that. You have to be Pope. Forget Elijah. You have to be Pope, bro. I already got the name, D'Angelo De Niro, money, because that's what Pope is. And so, therefore, again, they didn't know who Pope was. They didn't know what Pope was. But Vince Russo saw that, and he said, you be Pope. And so when I showed up to make my debut at Hard Justice, or what was it called? The TNA Angela Birdcage. It was Hard Justice at first.
Yeah, it was Hard. Yeah. It was Hard Justice, and they did a little ECW type of reincarnation.
Right.
Yeah.
I look like you didn't take too kind of that, Chris. Anyway,
wasn't a big fan of it.
Well, I'm sure you're not in that boat alone, brother. But yeah. So when I showed up to do that Hard Justice, man, nobody knew what or who or how Pope would look. But when Pope walked through the door, you know, the compliments, the head turning, and everything just went through the roof. it was like, wow, this is unique. This is different. This is going to be good. And, you know, and so Pope took off from there. And I never, ever was told how to be Pope. Well, at least not at that point.
Wow, that's a great story, and our I've followed you since you were with Tarkai, and I think that you're, I don't know if you prefer a babyface or a heel better, but I think that your run as a babyface, you were incredibly over in TNA, and it really seemed like they were trying to, and I remember you kept shifting from face to heel, and I'm like,
oh,
what are you doing?
It was horrible.
Yeah.
It was horrible.
Yeah,
it was horrible.
I wasn't a fan.
And, you know, that's, I can't point fingers because I don't know, you know, at one point it was one guy running, you know, in charge, and it was two guys, you know, Ed Ferreira came, and, you know, then it was three guys, and then there became about 10 chiefs sitting at a table, you know, up to now. So I can't really say why that happened, but I can tell you it was very piss poor to have Pope jumping back and forth without explanation, without giving a reason, and without any purpose. And any time that an individual goes out there, excuse me, an entertainer, a wrestler goes out to the ring and does not have purpose, and that does relate to an individual, if you have no purpose, then your reasoning, your effort, all that stuff that you can try to do, man, you can just put it in the trunk and leave it there, because the people cannot invest in your character if it has no purpose. And as over as you say and people have said, as Pope was at the time, my purpose went out the window. And once my purpose was lost, Pope was lost.
Wow, well said. So who was your best opponent that you faced both in WWE and TNA?
WWE, as best in working with in WWE, well, I can come from a fan standpoint. I come from a work standpoint. I think, again, that's going to go back to CM Punk in WWE, because we wrestled each other more times. I think I wrestled him in ECW WWE more than I did in anybody else. So I think that will go to CM Punk. And one of the things I liked about working Punk during that time was that me and him, we would go to the ring with nothing but a finish sometimes. And we would go out there, we would work old school, and we would actually challenge ourselves to work old school. And sometimes when working old school, we actually lay some things in there for the benefit of the fans, not for our body, of course. But, yeah, so it would probably be Punk. Of course, I was a big fan, a huge fan of wrestling, having the opportunity to wrestle Flair up there, him being one of my idols, and wrestling Chris Benoit. And, you know, one time, and it's still one of the high points, great matches that I like to look at as far as my career goes. I love that match, and he taught me a lot, so... Yeah, that's like taboo, huh? Oh gosh, we can't say nothing about Chris Benoit.
Yeah.
Anyway, that was one of my favorite matches. I mean, truth be told. So, but CM Punk will probably be my best opponent, as well as Tommy Dreamer. And Tommy Dreamer was the guy that hired me. He was my favorite ECW wrestler. You know, him being a fan of the Dream as well, which is why. Hence the name Tommy the Dreamer. So, yeah, so those are the guys up there. And I love beating on good old Ballsy Mahoney. Where is he? Anybody heard from Ballsy? Ballsy, give me a call. And TNA, a slew of people. But the top of the list obviously goes to AJ Styles, who I have no idea how he cannot be considered the greatest wrestler or the best wrestler going today. I mean, AJ is simply, as his name says, phenomenal. Desmond Wolfe was great, because he's roofy, and the stuff that he did, and merging his style in the ring, especially with this brawler that the Pope is, it just worked, and I enjoyed my time with him, and I learned some things from him as well. And last but not least, some more freaking Joe.
Oh, yeah.
And I feel bad to even have to mention this, but, man, me, myself, Pope, that is, and Samoa Joe we were so bamboozled, we were hoodwinked. I mean, we were just on the back burner, I think, because there's Pope versus Samoa Joe could have been so much more than what it was. And we went out there and we would slap the hell out of each other, and we would lay it in, and it was all for Norvell. Why? Because, as I said earlier, purpose. And the purpose was not there. There was nothing for the fans to invest in or sink their teeth in. All they saw was Pope showing pictures of a pig and having, you know, babies and whatever the case may have been, and adopting, trying to adopt dogs. But where was the purpose? Why all of a sudden was Pope a bad guy? And what was Joe's reason for coming after Pope? There was no storyline explanation whatsoever.
That's what I didn't understand. One of the, like I said, switches from face to heel. I remember that angle vividly, and I didn't understand why you played the heel in that. That baffled me.
I have no idea. All I do know is that speaking for myself and our Samoa Joe, but we knew. We knew that we were in a spot, so we just made the best of it, and we went out there, and we tried every night to go out there and make our match mean something, and that's what we did, and I believe we did that regardless of the fact. I mean, go back and watch Lockdown, me and him in the cage. We basically went out there cold, but, you know, we didn't have much of a build-up as the other storylines, but we went out there, and we made it work, and we got the reaction we sought out to get.
Yeah. Well, at least in that angle, you went over Joe a couple of times, so, you know, that's
a
that's
couple of good. Times, yeah. But you know what? That's not that don't work for Pope. You know, I have no problem winning, losing. I don't care about that stuff. It's about being a part of something magical. And whether I was face or heel, I did not care. Listen, I never asked to go face when I was Pope the heel. Against Suicide, they just the people received it so well, and all of a sudden they say, "Hey, let's make Pope a good guy." And I'm like, "No, I don't. Just let me be Pope. Don't try to change, man. If you're gonna put me in the good guy slot, don't try to change the Pope character. Let me remain the way that the people accepted me. Because it's when you start trying to change it and cater to the, you know, to the people, you know, they don't want that. They want to be the one to choose how you are. That's why they pay. You know, I mean, And granted, it's not the WWE where Vince can shove it down your throat and you take it, you know, because Vince, you know, knows what works best for his product. So you can complain about it all day long, but you're going to go back and watch. And don't tell me you're not watching, because if you're not watching, you can't complain about what happens every Monday night or Friday night. So, but, yeah, man. And, again, before you move on, I just want to, again, I want to give – and then this probably don't make me popular, man, but I just want to give a thanks to Vince Russo for allowing Pope to be Pope. He, like Dusty Rose, I'm probably giving credit to two of the most not
notorious.
So well. Yes, that's crazy, right? So I guess I'll be in there soon. But yeah, man, Vince Russo never, ever scripted Pope. Funny story, Vince will come back sometimes for an interview, a backstage pre-tape or whatever, like, for instance, what I did with Devon and his boys when they attacked him. Vince Russo will come around and say, "Okay, Pope, what we got?" And I'm like, "What you mean, what we got? What you need me to have, you know? I mean, what did I say? Okay, what you saying, Pope? I don't know. I don't even know what direction we're going. Nobody told me nothing." But to Vince Russo's credit, and that's how hectic it would be at times, but to Vince Russo's credit, he would say, "This is what we're trying to accomplish, Pope. Go do it." And that's what I would do. And he would like it for the most – many of the times he would like it. You know, it's very rare that he's saying, "Let's do it again," or "change it." And so I really appreciate anybody in the business like that. Again, that's, you know, that's some of the guys I've already mentioned to you. Terry Taylor was like that, Vince Russo, Dusty Rhodes, and a couple other, including that for, I'm not going to mention him, that's just going to give me nuclear heat.
Uh-oh. Yeah. So Ed Ferrara was, talk about the Notorious Clan, he was definitely one of them, especially with this Oklahoma gimmick in the WCW. So,
But you know, the funny part about that is to me, as a fan watching during that time with the Oklahoma character, I mean, have we not witnessed some of the things that they have done to good old JR, and everybody wanted to crucify Ed for his little interpretation of poking fun. And, you know, we have black hats being pulled out of JR's butt after his surgery and stuff, you know. It's like the pot calling the kettle black.
I definitely understand that take. So you're talking about CM Punk being one of your favorite wrestlers. So there was a controversy a little bit ago about him making some sarcasm about you in the ring. So I'm live on air now. Was it a work or was it a shoot?
Well, number one, I'm not there. So I don't know what CM Punk's thoughts are at this time. I know at that time that myself and CM Punk, we meshed very, very well in the ring and we had fun. Yeah, we much like, again, if I'm into a new breed or anything, you're going to have your disagreements here and there. But I don't know CM Punk outside of the ring. You know, so I don't know how much of a work or if that's a shoot. I don't know that. But, again, that is CM Punk. And this is a guy that has risen in the past couple of years and have become notorious for saying things that is going to elicit a reaction. And, man, if there's ever been a guy that can put his finger on the pulse of the Internet – like Kevin Nash, then CM Punk has definitely risen up the ranks when it comes to that. So I don't know, but I don't know him personally. He don't know me personally. So if that is true and that is CM Punk's feelings, all I can say is he never said that to my face. Mm. So you take that for what it is.
All right, live on air. I like it. So who is your dream opponent?
Dream opponent. Man, I don't know if I can say I have a dream opponent at the current. I mean, because I'm such a historian, I guess, when it comes to wrestling. So, you know, my dream was to get in the ring with Ric Flair. That was my dream.
Let me rephrase the question then. Say you were given the opportunity to wrestle at WrestleMania 30, okay? Who was the first person, if you had the choice to wrestle anyone, who was the first person that you would choose to wrestle at WrestleMania 30?
CM Punk.
CM Punk, okay. Yes, that sounds good. I can definitely see how that would be.
Yeah.
I can definitely see how that would work. So, all right, I got some name affiliations for you. I'm going to say a name, and you just let me know what you think about them. So, let's start off with Chris Jericho.
Smart. Are these one words or are these compound words that make the sentence?
You can elaborate. You can elaborate as far as you want to go.
Smart is one of the smartest and helpful, cool guy, but one of the smartest current, soon to be legendary wrestling figures that is currently active. He has the stuff together. He knows when to leave, when to come back, and he knows that spot's going to always be available for him. And even now, he's willing, you know, much unlike a lot of folk, he's willing to do business. So smart.
Yeah, he's quick to put people over. Sometimes a lot of people don't like his selflessness, but you know, he's that guy. So how about Randy?
You know what? I'm sorry. I need to back up, and I hope you can make note of this. I do want to back up because I feel it's unjust and unright that I said what I said when you asked me if I can. I do mean I would love to wrestle CM Punk if I had that opportunity. But there's one guy above all of the guys in the WWE right now, whom I personally would choose to wrestle, and that is Dolph freaking Ziggler.
Oh, wow.
That guy, to me, you know, he's the guy for me. for Pope, that guy is the guy.
Yeah, if he was able to
bounce back from the Spirit Squad that I wasn't willing to do, make everybody forget that. It wasn't that I was willing. It was just that I was given the opportunity to turn it down. If Vince McMahon told me I had to do it, then it would have been done. Vince gave Elijah Burke the opportunity to turn it down. He said, if you're not comfortable with it, don't do it. And I wasn't comfortable with it, so I didn't do it. But Dolph Ziggler did it, and everybody else is gone. But Dolph came back with a gimmick, and he made everybody forget, and his work rate is just through the roof. It's just through the roof. It's Mr. Perfect all over again for me. And I know he don't like that comparison a lot, but he has so many traits of so many of the greats, the Mr. Perfect, the Macho Man Randy Savage. He just got that certain thing about him. I think he's going to be a great world champion for years to come once they finally pull the plug on him.
Yeah, I think that the match would be great. You and Dolph Ziggler, and the build would be great too, because both of you are very good workers. So, and you have,
I appreciate that.
You're good on the mic, so you can definitely build it up. So, how about Randy Orton?
He can carry the other load. I carry the mic load. How about that, Dan?
Yeah, that'll do it. that'll do it. Randy Orton,
one cool, laid back mofo, but don't get on his bad side.
Mm. Gotcha. Have you had some experiences with having some conflict with him?
No, I've had no Pope Elijah Burke. I'm stuck on this Pope thing because that's just who I am. But I've never had any conflict I can think of. During my time there, especially with none of the top guys or semi-top guys. I never had any conflict. I may have had some people that didn't, maybe took their nose up at me or something like that, but I was told to walk with my shoulders down once, even though that's the way I walk. So, that can be considered a conflict. So it's really it's a shame that everybody has to describe, their time of their walking on eggshells. But, it was something I just didn't do. I just believe in respecting everybody. I'm not going to walk on my tiptoes, but I respect everybody, and I'm going to do everything that's required of me. I've seen other people have their run-ins, and I know what it's about. But Randy Orton, one cool mofo, but don't cross him.
Awesome. How about Devon?
Devon? Did you say Devon?
Devon, absolutely.
As in Brother Devon. Listen, let me tell you something. Okay, this man was dumb enough to bring his wife to the Impact Zone. Okay? Mm-hmm. And you put this on the record, okay? This is a shoot. He was dumb enough to bring his wife to the Impact Zone, and then she got lust in the eyes for Pope, and then they gotta turn it into a storyline all of a sudden. Devon, oh gosh, I think Bully will even tell you that, and that's not even on camera. He'll tell you Devon's a doofus. Anyways, but outside of that, Devon's a great guy. He's a little lost sometimes in his thoughts, bless his heart, but he's a good guy, good character, good dad, and sometimes when he had it really, really rough, I had to take the kids school shopping, so what does that tell you?
Mm. Be sure not to bring his wife to the Impact Zone anymore. Well, there's no more Impact Zone because they went...
Everybody say what happened. Once Pope got a hold of her, she never was able to come back.
Uh-oh. I guess the Pope is pimping, huh?
Let that tell the story, Daddy.
Uh-oh. Well, how about Hulk Hogan?
Man, Hogan is pimping. And he is one of the greatest chess players on screen and off screen that we probably, you know, will never truly know how great of a chess player he is. But, you know, I'm sure a lot of us know just by the game that he spits. But my dealing with Hogan has been nothing but positive. And Hogan was for a brother, so I ain't got nothing but love for Hulk. He took time to talk to me or whatnot. I still want to know whose decision it was to pull the title off of me at lockdown, you know. Yeah. But hey, that's another story, and I don't know who actually was for me and who was actually against it. But you know, history has a way of working itself out, and if it wasn't meant for me at the time, then it just wasn't meant. But I love my opportunity to work with such a great mind and talk personal talk from time to time with Hogan. And one of the main things I loved about Hogan was that, man, he don't mind sharing those stories. That's why I like being under Hogan and Ric Flair. You know, Sean share some stories with me. I love, and Terry Taylor, I love hearing the road stories, man. I love hearing about the ring, you know, and the things that happened, you know, that were, you know, just the inside stuff. So I love that about Hogan. And whenever I went up to him, he always had something to say. And even when he was in pain, he always, you know, had a good little laugh for me. So. Ask me
about Bones and Mahoney. Ask me about Marty.
I don't even want to talk about him, but. How
about Vince McMahon?
Vince McMahon. I would think working beside Vince McMahon is. Working under him, rather. Don't let me. I don't want to misconstrue that. But working under Vince is.
Shoot it straight here,
Pope.
I said, shoot it straight here, Pope.
Oh well. I'm trying. You know, Pope is very prolific when it comes to analogies. So I'm trying to work on my analogy here. But I want to say that uncomfortable. That acceptance but uncomfortable feeling sometimes you get when you're invited over to that girl's house and her dad is sitting at the other end of the table, and even though he's already gave you the stamp of approval, it's still like, you know, he's sitting there and you know he's there, so it kind of makes you drop your fork every now and then or chew a certain way or pick up your drink a certain way. Yeah, so that's Vince. Hell, Vince came, they came to me for – Vince wore my skull cap out on ECW, okay? So he's cool with me. You know, I mean, I never had a bad word come from Vince. I never got yelled at by Vince. I never got cursed out by Vince. All I got was, good job. Keep it up. That's a replay right there. You're going in the opening. That's all I ever got from Vince. I never got anything except that and constructive criticism. And the only thing I can recall is shoot the half, which when I was trying to pull sat behind Balls Mahoney over, and I pulled him over by his flubber, and I didn't shoot the half, you know. But Vince was, you know, he was hands-on with me plenty of times as far as in talking to me and telling me what he wanted and where we were going. So, yeah, I really enjoyed it. And to be in the ring with Vince when he introduced me out there is one of the highlights of my career. You know, I reached over and said, hey, Vince, you know, this is a Kodak moment. Let's give it to him. That wasn't planned. You know, and then they turned it into the little picture. That wasn't planned. I was just, you know, doing what I felt was right, which either he was going to say good stuff or he was going to say, what the hell did you do that for? You know, so.
It's a good thing that you got the good end of the stick. So.
Vince is about money. So anything that works, right? Anything that works, that's what he's about.
That's what he's all about, yeah. So we have time for one caller. So what we're going to do now is we're going to take a question from a caller. Just let us know your name and where you're from and what you have for Elijah Burke. You on the air? Hello?
Can you hear me?
Yes. Your name, where you're from, and any question or comment you have for Elijah.
Yeah, this my name's Dave Holland, and I'm in Canal, Winchester, Ohio. And this has been great too, just being able to hear you guys speak. And I guess my question would be, what would you say is your biggest regret throughout your career? Your biggest regret?
Thank you so much.
My biggest regret, and thank you for the question, by the way, and thank you for enjoying the interview. My biggest regret is not playing politics. I've never been a political player behind the scenes. And sometimes in this business, not being a political player can be the worst thing that can affect your career. Not being in a clique, not being in a group. It's kind of hard when you are a straight-up type of guy and you just walk into work and you want to do your job and then leave and do it again the next day. And so sometimes in this business, having a clique or being down, going out to drink, Pope don't drink, Pope don't smoke, Pope don't club, oh, gosh, sorry, fans, but Pope don't do any of those things. So because I don't go out and I don't hang out and I'm not in the midst of some of the big wigs when they're getting drunk or they're in the whorehouses or strip clubs or whatever the case may be, not saying that they do that, but that's my biggest regret, somewhat. Not the end stuff I told you, but just not being in the clique. I'm a very sociable person. I love to laugh. I laugh in the worst type situations as well, but I just never got down with folk to basically have a pawn in the front office, pretty much. Mm. So, but that's at no fault of my own. I can only show up to work and do what you require of me, and that's what I've always done. But I don't do the going out afterwards and trying to get some sloppy behind rats and being down with the boys because, you know, I'm screwing the same fat, nasty, horrible chick that they're screwing. And if that makes me not cool, then so be it, Daddy. I got my own thing, you know?
All right. There you go. That's what it's all about right there. So, all right, so the interview has been fantastic. Finally, Pope, where can we find you at now?
Hey, I appreciate that. You didn't even ask me about my Pope TV, but I will like to talk about
Here's the avenue for Pope TV.
Thank you, my friend. And you've been wonderful. But TheElijahExpress.com, by the way, is my website. And it has all of my social media outlets as far as Facebook.com/ElijahBurke, B-U-R-K-E. Y'all know the spelling of my name. Also, I have a Facebook fan page, which is Facebook.com/TheBlackPope. That's with a D-A. And the Black Pope, D-A, Black Pope, is also my Twitter handler. Last but not least, Pope, as of today, 30 minutes before this interview to coincide with my 10-year anniversary and your 1-year anniversary, this interview, Pope launched Pope TV for you. That's Pope TV, the number 4, the letter U. And that is going well. I was doing that before you called. There's so many positive responses I'm getting. And one of the main reasons is because of the PIMP movement, positively influencing many people. I can't hold you up talking about it, but please, if you get the opportunity, go see the good that Pope, along with many other people, are contributing to, donating some funds to help somebody else in less fortunate situations than our very own. So, Again, that's the PIMP movement, and you can read more about it at TheElijahExpress.com. And, Chris, as soon as this interview is over with, I want you to go to YouTube and check out Pope TV for you and subscribe.
Pope TV for you, all of the listeners. We have many, many listeners that listen to the show. Once again, Pope TV for you on YouTube. Subscribe to that. It's been a pleasure very much, and, you know, use this interview if you can pub this interview on Pope TV or on Twitter or whatever you can.
Absolutely.
We will also appreciate it. Pope, it's been a pleasure. You've been a great interviewee, and we definitely thank you so much for your time and all of your wonderful stories. And I got one quote for you, and that's I've wined and dined with kings and queens. I've slept in alleyways and dined on pork and beans. So
that's right,
your boy Dusty Rhodes. So we want to continue
that.
We're going to continue the Pimp Movement. Again, Pimp TV for you. All of the listeners,
Pope
Pimp
TV.
I'm sorry. Pope TV for you. Pope TV.
That's right. The
for
number
you.
Four. The number four, four and the letter U. The number four and the letter U.
Pope TV.
And also.
For you.
I'm sorry. Pope TV for you. Yes, sir. And also, guys, I appreciate it, Chris. And for those that have been waiting, Pope makes his return to PWS Pro Wrestling Syndicate, WrestleMania weekend. If you're in the New Jersey, New York area, please stop by and watch Pope. Pimp slap John Morrison for stealing those shades. We still have our unresolved issues, but he stole Pope's shades, and he got an answer to that. I appreciate
yes.
you, Chris.
Pro Wrestling Syndicate. And before you go, I am now on a movement to try to find Balls Mahoney for you.
Man, if you can do that, good grief, do that for me. I gotta find that Marty Jannetty and what he tried to do to Balls Mahoney. Did you see that footage?
I heard about it, but I didn't see it. I'm gonna have to check it out. I heard it was
man,
pretty.
Find balls it for me. Yeah, find balls it for me, man, so I can figure out what's going on. As a matter of fact, if you can get them and you get them for an interview, Pope is always here for you, Daddy. Just
awesome.
Send that link over to Angela at the live booking, and we'll go from there.
Awesome. I'll bring on Balls Mahoney, and you'll be on with them. Thank you so much for the for that open door, and it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much, sir.
Hey, thank you, my friend. Have a good one.
All right, bye. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the Elijah Express, the pimp movement as he advertised. Pope TV, the letter four, the number four, the letter U on YouTube. Again, Pope TV, the number four, the letter U. Pope D'Angelo De Niro, better known as Elijah Burke. That was such a phenomenal interview. Thank you so much for being with us on the one-year anniversary. So we have enough time to go through Raw this week. Again, we're going to start off with a trivia question, as we do normally. The trivia question is, what was William Regal called during his first WWE stint? Again, what was William Regal called in his first WWE stint? Again, we're going to get through Raw here. We're going to steamroll through Raw here. Again, thank you all for listening. Thank you all. I'm sorry I didn't get a chance to read the tweets We had enough time to take one call, but thank you all for that. Elijah Burke was definitely a phenomenal person to interview, and thank you for sharing the one-year anniversary with us. All right, let's go to Raw for this week. CM Punk in-ring promo. Speaking of CM Punk, it's interesting his answer to the CM Punk question. As far as it being a work or a shoot, hopefully maybe I can talk to CM Punk and get his take on it. But his answer was pretty good as far as the controversy that was there. The lights go off in the promo. The Undertaker appears and attacks CM Punk in the ring. And I think that was a good thing because CM Punk, it was a lot of talking, and I know that the Undertaker can't do much physically, and he's mostly saving it for WrestleMania. But I think that some physical interaction is good. I don't think that. A lot of it will be good. Definitely, you know, saving it for WrestleMania. Fandango enters the ring and prepared for match. But Jericho runs out and attacks Fandango, and Dolph Ziggler comes out early for their scheduled match. I guess they're trying to bring some aggression in their feud. It was pretty much a lock that we were going to get it solidified, but it was a good way to extend the feud. Jericho defeats Dolph Ziggler. I'm glad that Jericho actually went over in the match. Hopefully this doesn't... See, this is one thing that I was thinking about Jericho winning, and it's sad that I have to think about this now when he wins matches, but it seems that Jericho is setting Fandango's win to be even better because he hasn't won many matches recently. But he did do a good promo as far as who he is, you know, as far as his accolades and how Fandango is, you know, trying to spoil that and trying to make a name for himself, you know, at the expense of Jericho. His backstage interview was good, and it was very true, but we still need to see some more wins in that win column to make Jericho not just, you know, sabotage his run in the WWE currently. And then after Ziggler loses, Big E comes out and attacks. Well, he comes from the outside, attacks Jericho post match and applies the finisher. Fandango comes back out and attacks Y2J. Applies the leg drop finisher, which I don't know if I'm okay with that. You can't wrestle chance still, so I don't know exactly if he's going to get over. So I don't know if beating Jericho will help him. Sheamus interview and attacked by Shield. Orton tries to make save but gets outnumbered. Big Show makes a save and then the Shield retreats. Mark Henry defeats the Usos. Usos worked well, but, you know, Mark Henry, you know, they're just building him up to be unstoppable against Ryback, which I liked. I mean, Usos is probably my favorite tag team in the WWE as far as being a well-oiled, you know, machine of a tag team. They work extremely well together. I mean, they're twin brothers, but other than that, you know, they work well as a team. Grossly underpushed, by the way. But I can see why they were used to get Mark Henry over. He attacks the Usos post-match, shows a little bit more aggression. And Antonio Cesaro defeats Alberto Del Rio by countout due to Swagger bullying Ricardo Rodriguez and Del Rio making the save. I don't know exactly what this did per se. Antonio Cesaro has not been winning many matches as of late, and it doesn't seem like he has a good WrestleMania spot, which he should have. Hopefully we're not going to see a pre-show match with him. I would be okay if they did a pre-show battle royal to have a match with him at WrestleMania, simply because it would be a WrestleMania moment for Cesaro, because he deserves it. Cesaro is one of the strongest wrestlers, and he's a great wrestler, and he's doing well with what the opportunity that he's been given. So hopefully we'll see a spot come WrestleMania for Cesaro. And then Del Rio cross arm breakers Cesaro post match, gets the upper hand at the end of the segment. But the thing is, Del Rio's getting barely any reaction, and that's a little scary because they're really trying to push him as a face. And I don't know. I don't know if it's not working. There's been reports that it's not working, you know, like they wanted to, but this Del Rio and Jack Swagger feud, it just, like I said before, I wish they would have used a minor pay-per-view for it, but I don't know if it's going to last because it's having hardly any reaction. Team Hell No defeating the Primetime Players, Triple H in-ring promo. Wade Bear comes out to prepare for a match. Stares down Triple H, kind of gives him a smug look and tells him to go past him. Triple H low blows him via a kick. I looked at the stare down, and it really just shows me how much they could have pushed Wade Bear, because I liked what I saw. I think that Wade Barrett and I think that Wade Barrett and Triple H could have made a really good feud. So sadly, we're going to get Wade Barrett and The Miz relatively, because I think it's going to be a decent match, but I'm not too sure of. It could have been, Bear could have been in a better spot. Even if it wasn't for the title, he could have had a pretty major spot on the card. Of course, him and Triple H wouldn't compare buy rate wise to Triple H and Brock Lesnar, but I think if Brock wasn't available, I think that Wade Bear would have been a good replacement. Kane and Daniel Bryan argue backstage. Caitlin talks to them, and AJ eavesdrops. Caitlin eventually says crazy, and then calls her crazy to Kane and Daniel Bryan, and it prompts AJ to attack Caitlin. I'm okay with AJ and Caitlin. There is reported, WrestlingInc.com reported that they are thinking about having a match between Caitlin and AJ. It's almost solidified. There were a couple ideas to throw around with the Divas, but at least the title gets to be showcased, and I'm okay with that. Then we had The Shield defeating The Great Khali, Justin Gabriel, and Zack Ryder. Good way to put The Shield on the program. I'm glad that they used The Great Khali in that capacity and they triple power bombed him. of course, the credibility is not in Great Khali anymore, but he is a giant of a person. So that was a good spot for them to triple powerbomb Great Khali. Sheamus, Randy Orton, and Big Show attacked The Shield. I like how they did it, how they had Randy Orton come in and then Sheamus, and then Big Show kind of he didn't come from the ramp. He came from the crowd, and I think that was a good idea to do that. So to kind of build the momentum in the feud, I was okay with that, and I'm getting better and better with the feud. I think that it's working now. So I'm happy that they chose to do it like that to build a little bit more suspense. So then we get a back, like I said before, interview with Y2J, announces the match at WrestleMania at WrestleMania versus Fandango, and I think that I said before that I'm not okay with the feud. However, I think if they decide to make Jericho go over Fandango, I'll be okay with it. I mean, any match that at this point in time, Jericho winning a singles match at WrestleMania is a good thing. I hope it doesn't put over Fandango. But at the same time, they're really putting a lot of stock in this feud. You have a like I said before, having a singles match against Chris, with Chris Jericho at WrestleMania is a big deal. So even if he loses, it's a win for Fandango just to have that spot. So as they put the aggression in it, we have through Raw and SmackDown, we didn't see the failed debuts. I guess they're pulling the plug on that. They may not have, but looks like they are pulling the plug on that, just because it seems like it wasn't getting the reactions. Eventually, the reactions that it got, led to You Can't Wrestle. And it wasn't necessarily the heat probably that the WWE wanted. It was more like I'm tired of, I'm tired of this gimmick already type of heat. Team Road Scholars defeats Brodus Clay and Sweet Tea. Like I said before, I like this angle. I'm okay with this feud. I hope that it leads to a WrestleMania match. Like I said, 8-man match between the four of them, and add on the Bellas and then Cameron and Naomi, because they usually have some type of physical altercation outside the ring when they wrestle. When the two teams wrestle, so making it 8-man, I'm okay with that. Ryback defeats 3MB in a 3-man handicap match. Looked impressive, but 3MB didn't necessarily get squashed. I mean, they weren't just ran over. So I think that was well booked. And then the shell shock on Heath Slater and Jinder Mahal was pretty impressive as well. It made us seem as if it won't be insurmountable to get Mark Henry up there. Although it's just massive, it's just a big block of weight of Mark Henry compared to two lighter wrestlers of Slater and Mahal. Although the both of them together does pretty much add up to Mark Henry. AJ Lee defeats Caitlin by count out. I guess setting them up for WrestleMania. And then a Rock Cena Q&A. Before we bring in our Raw correspondent, Derek, I just have a little bit to say about this, not too much. The panelist was Mick Foley, Booker T, Dusty Rhodes, and Bret Hart. I don't know if the listeners are aware, but Ric Flair was supposed to be one of the panelists. However, he was hospitalized with a blood clot. He's doing better now, but he was supposed to be actually on 3 Raws, but leading it to WrestleMania. But that's the reason why he didn't get to make it. I think it was a very long segment. I think it was too long. I don't think it had anything. I don't think it built anything for WrestleMania. It seems like they're running out of options, because essentially they've been feuding for, this is their third WrestleMania that they've been in a feud. Rock hosted WrestleMania 27 and cost Cena the title. Well, he cost Cena the title because he was challenging The Miz, and The Miz won because of The Rock interference on John Cena. And then, of course, they have the main event match at 28, and then come 29. So it seems like they're running out of options with the Rock and Cena feud, and I'm not excited. I'm not any more excited than I was before, and the excitement was not high. So the excitement level is relatively low as far as the build up between that. I don't think that the segment did much to wet people's whistles or to make people any more excited. It seemed like Bret Hart didn't even want to be there. Dusty Rhodes, I just had to laugh at his mic work. And it's just, Pope said it best. I mean, just down-home Southern mic work. To me, Dusty Rhodes is one of the best talkers in the business still. And some of the things that he was just saying, was just like, I mean, it was funny, but I don't understand what he was saying. Like, you know, sometimes you get what you can and you get what you could, but sometimes you could have get what you don't want to. And he was just saying stuff that this really probably only made sense in his head, but he delivered it so greatly that we kind of accepted it. So that's basically a lot of things that Dusty Rhodes would say during his career. And I think that was probably my best moment of the segment. Rock gets seen in a rock bottom at the end. Like I said, the build isn't that strong leading into 29, and I really hope that they will deliver, because we're going to see the same match the second year in a row. So there's a lot of people that expectations are higher because they don't even want to see the match. So not only that, it better deliver to their already, you know, high level of hesitancy. So hopefully we get a decent match. Well, hopefully we get an excellent match, not a decent match. Hopefully we get an excellent match between The Rock and Cena come WrestleMania. All right, we got our Raw correspondent, Derek, on the line. I imagine you were chiming in to the Pope interview with Pope Elijah Burke interview, let us know what you have for Raw as well as what you thought of the interview.
Hey, the interview was excellent. This is the one-year anniversary of Pancakes Power Slams. You can ask for more. This is awesome. So let's delve in it. Let's live the wrestling dream that is Pancakes and Power Slams. The interview, it couldn't have been more awesome. We got Elijah Burke on the phone. He was talking, telling us everything, his experiences, his life in wrestling. I mean, you couldn't ask for more. The stories he gave, the shoot interviews, he was on top of it. What an amazing one anniversary show, Pancakes and Power Slams. Go out and promote it. This is where wrestling is at. Again, a wealth of knowledge from Elijah Burke. We couldn't ask for much more. Thank you very much. We appreciate that.
Absolutely.
As far as Monday Night Raw goes, you're right about Rock and Cena debate. That went on too long. That was boring. The board of panel, the judges, Foley, Hart, Dusty Rhodes, Booker T. Ric Flair would have lightened up the crowd. God bless him. Hopefully everything will be great for him. He's going to come through it. But again, like you were saying, this is probably going to be this WrestleMania. There's not much going. So what's it going to be next year, WrestleMania? The Rock will probably lose to John Cena. That's almost a given. This is WWE last gasp of air. Please, give us something good for WrestleMania. CM Punk and the Taker pops in last night. That was good. Everyone likes to see the Taker. That was a lot of fun. But it was just kind of, give me back my urn. Simple play, baby. Nothing much going on. Fandango premieres. Y2J was in there. Bum rushed him. Then Dolph Ziggler comes out versus Y2J. Y2J wins. Fandango comes back. Assaults Y2J. Say my name. the fans are chanting, "You can't wrestle." That was cool. Every prop in the world to Y2J, especially to embarrass Fandango. Fandango could end up being someone great, but Y2J, again, build somebody that needs to be built. The Miz versus Wade Barrett, that was a great match. The Miz wins. And on the Chris Jericho note, The Miz, to me, kind of seems like he has that Chris Jericho quality in his early years. I really want to see The Miz do well. I could be wrong, could be right. Hopefully The Miz ends up being somebody that has the qualities to take the WWE to a new direction, a better direction, different direction. As again, you look at WrestleMania for next year, I don't think they have much. What are they going to have? Again, Elijah Burke, that was a great interview. Thank you, Chris. Good night.
Awesome. Thank you very much, Derek, for your interview, for your correspondence there. The correct answer to the, actually don't see any correct answer, but it was a real man's man. A real man's man was William Regal's gimmick in the WWE, in his first WWE stint. Next question is, what was the first title that Christian won in the WWE? What was the first title that Christian won in the WWE? All right, let's get to SmackDown real quick before Impact Wrestling. We'll go to Impact Wrestling real quick. Don't look like we'll be able to cover ROH in its entirety or SmackDown. Well, it was a quick little answer. It was a quick answer there. Light Heavyweight in the chat room. Great job there. Next question. Let's try to get one more here. Who managed S.A. Rios? Who managed S.A. Rios? Real quick, Impact Wrestling. Hulk Hogan in-ring promo brings out Samoa Joe, Magnus, Kurt Angle, and Jeff Hardy. Hardy suggests four-way for number one contender. Hogan accepts. Austin Aries, Bobby Roode defeats Chavo and Hernandez. Interrupted by Daniels and Kazarian. Attacks Aries and Roode post-match. Kenny King defeats Sanjay Dutt and Zema Ion. There's some new rules for the X Division, 230 pounds. It's kind of weird. I don't know all of the rules exactly, but I think it's a 230 pound limit. The person who loses the triple threat match cannot wrestle for the next match, and then there's a match to qualify someone to wrestle for the title. It's a little confusing. I think the possibility for it to work is there. I think the only problem is we'll probably get so lost in the rules and regulations that we just won't get it. And I mean, of course, there will be some good matches that will be delivered, but I think it's too confusing already from the start, and I don't know if that's a good thing. Sting and Hogan talk backstage in office. Brooke Hogan terminates Taryn Terrell as a ref. Brings her on as a knockout. Terrell spears Gail Kim in the ring and chases her to the back. Check out my Impact Wrestling reviews on WrestlingInc.com. I mentioned that it's kind of sad that Gail Kim, the pioneer along with Awesome Kong, but really Gail Kim just kind of Gail Kim really jump started the Knockouts division in the TNA. Had a fantastic feud with Awesome Kong, and I think that for her to get to there, and her when she just came back as a heel, it was pretty good. She had the, if I'm not mistaken, I remember, I'm almost positive if I remember correctly, she was simultaneously the Knockouts champion and the Knockouts tag team champion, along with Madison Rayne, I believe. So to go from that to, you know, most likely putting over Taryn Terrell, it's a little sad there. Lita is the correct answer. Great job, chat room. Bully Ray sneaks behind Brooke, and then Brooke walks away. Matt Morgan defeats Joseph Park. Surprising here, because I thought Joseph Park was going to go over Matt Morgan. Seemed like they were trying to push Joseph Park, but it's a good step in the right direction for Matt Morgan. But like I said in my article that I wrote on WrestlingInc.com about Impact, last week, it kind of puts Matt Morgan in a hard place right now, because the Aces and Eights feud is really kind of trampling over anybody else that's a heel to make any type of name for themselves. So Bully Ray is a champion, and of course you have Aces and Eights, so Matt Morgan's not very high in the pecking order, as far as a top heel right now. So most of the heels, unfortunately, if you're not in Aces and Eights, you're kind of in a bad place, similar to how it was in the NWO and WCW. There weren't very many heels that stood out that weren't in the NWO. All right, and next we have Mike Tenay interviewing AJ Styles in ring. Taz interrupts and offers a spot on Aces and Eights. And then James Storm comes out and talks to AJ, and AJ walks away. Nice little cliffhanger for that to figure out what's next for AJ. And then finally, Jeff Hardy defeats Samoa Joe, Magnus, and Kurt Angle. It was a great match, but I'm not a fan of Hardy winning. I like Jeff Hardy, but I'm not a fan of him winning. I think Kurt Angle should have won, and they should have built the feud with him and Bully Ray leading to June's Slammiversary. You've got a little bit over a month, around a month, month and a half to build that, and I think since Kurt Angle had the most affiliation with the Aces and Eights, I think that he should have won that match and had a feud with Bully Ray. All right. ROH saw Michael Logan defeat Silas Young. Charlie Haas in-ring promo issues open challenge. Out comes Grizzly Redwood. Haas defeats Redwood. Haas keeps finishing on him, and Mike Mondo makes a return and saves Redwood. Mike Mondo gets an interview, and then Scum comes out and attacks Mondo and Redwood. Nigel McGuinness and Steve Corino agree on Scum matches on the upcoming show. And then finally, Matt Hardy and Adam Cole led to Rhino goring Adam Cole during the match and leading to a melee between Scum and ROH. I like what I see with Scum and ROH, a nice little story development with the anti-establishment of Scum. Fantastic show. Thank you so much, everyone who was tweeting. Sorry I didn't get all your tweets or your phone calls, but be sure to call in 347-884-8452. We'll definitely accept more calls. The interview was nearly an hour long, so we didn't get to cover as much things extensively, but I mean that's what he was here for. He was here to tell you all about his career and try to get as much out of the interview as possible, and it was fantastic. Thank you all for listening, celebrating the 1 year anniversary. I mean, I couldn't have asked for more. This was a fantastic 1 year anniversary show. Follow at Crave Wrestling on Twitter, like Crave Wrestling on Facebook, and also check out my Bleacher Report articles, as well as WrestlingInc.com. I write there, and as well as an Impact Wrestling review every week. Check that out. Other than that, follow Crave Wrestling at Twitter once again. Any inquiries, any flavor of the weeks, we'll get to the flavor of the week next week. We didn't do it this week because of the interview. But any suggestions for the flavor of the week, cravewrestling@gmail.com. Once again, very humbled for a 1 year anniversary. Until next week, any sponsors, cravewrestling@gmail.com. Check us out. All right. Until next week, have a great week of enjoy your wrestling, and God bless. Goodbye.